Yesterday, the Senate passed a bill on immigration, a compromise bill, they're calling it, that they say toughens border security and puts most illegal immigrants on a path to citizenship. The bill tells illegals who are in this country, you're going to fall into one of three categories. And if you want to stay in the United States of America, you better be in the top category. And then you better fill out some paperwork and you better write a check. You better figure out some way to get $3,250 together and write a check to the United States and then settle up on back taxes. And you better learn English and you better have been here for 5 years and you better keep a job. And then you can be on the track towards becoming a citizen in this country. If you've been here for more than 2 years but less than five, you have to go out of the United States and then begin the lengthy process of seeking citizenship again from there and work your way back into the guest worker program. And if you've been here less than 2 years, well, you got to get out and there's no way we can guarantee your return. Now, I think there's a little flaw in this problem, which is you ask anybody who you do find who is an illegal immigrant how long they've been here. Aren't they all going to say at least 5 years now? Why would any of them say, oh, I got here last Tuesday? Well, then you have to leave. Well, I'm sorry. I meant Tuesday in 1994. I didn't mean last Tuesday when I meant 12 years. I've been here a long time, and I should be able to stay. Of course they're all going to say that. I don't know how they're going to figure out who's been here, how long, and how they're going to figure out who speaks English. How much English do you need to speak? Because I took 1 year of high school Spanish, and my first trip to Mexico, I was able to order a beer and get some more butter and find out where the bathroom was. Did that mean that I was able to speak Spanish? And by the way, speaking the language is not quite the same as understanding the language. Anybody who's ever traveled to a foreign country and learned some of the words from that guidebook, you can ask where the bathroom is, or you can ask directions, how do I get to this street? And then they answer you in their native tongue at a much faster speed than you learned in the classroom. And you don't understand it at all. So speaking it and understanding it are not the same thing. Tim Kavanaugh is one of the editors of Reason magazine. He's been writing about immigration for several months now. And this week wrote an op-ed called Borders Without Visas, in which he takes a kind of radical approach to the idea of immigration in this country and says we should follow the NAFTA example. I've asked him to join me here this afternoon on KMOX and explain it. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. What do you mean, follow the NAFTA example?
I didn't say follow the NAFTA example, but I did say that the reality of the North American Free Trade Agreement is we now have a comprehensive trading arrangement with Mexico. Part and parcel of free trade is free exchange of people, and people being able to come and go as they want. Now, you said it was a radical proposal, and many other people have said that, too. It's actually not. It actually is very much in the mainstream of American history. It wasn't really until the 1920s that there was any sort of quota or control over how many Mexicans were coming into the United States. And during that period, you had a really interesting and free flow of people that would come and go, and the rate of people coming in would rise and fall depending on economic circumstances or depending on people's own circumstances.
Well, now, wait a minute. My grandparents came to this country in that period in the 20 or 30 years before 1920. They came just towards the end of the 19th century, and they all had to go through Ellis Island.
Yeah, that's because they didn't live in Mexico.
Well, of course, they came from Eastern Europe.
Okay, Eastern Europe is not on the border with the United States.
Yes, I know, Tim. But my point here is that they were able to come in and all had to go through Ellis Island and went through the regular immigration program. At the time when Mexicans were coming into the United States, they had no similar program for entry that way?
No. There were absolute guest workers. There wasn't even a guest worker visa. People would just come and go. They would get marked down as they entered the country. People knew that they were coming and going. There was a border protection there. The state of Texas had its own border control, and there was a federal border control. And if you look at the statistics from the federal border control back then, they're even more interesting because they show that that there was not only a large number of people coming in, but there were a large number of people going out because, you know, the circumstances change. What you have now is you have these 12 million people or whatever. They are, you know, essentially locked in. If they go back to Mexico, they can't come back into the United States when they need to. And when I say they need to because they want a job and there's somebody here who wants to hire them. And in my book, the only duty of the government in a situation like that is to get out of the way and let free enterprise take its course.
So you have no problem with employers who are hiring illegals now?
No, of course not. I mean, they're in violation of some kind of law. I disagree with that law. I don't support prosecuting those employers who are hiring illegal immigrants. And obviously, the nation does not support it either, or we would have been doing it. We haven't been doing it since the law was passed. Now, you got to ask yourself, why does it keep not happening? It keeps not happening because nobody wants it done.
You think this is just a political ruse in an election year?
No, I don't think it. Come on. I didn't just fall off the tree. Of course it's a political ruse in an election year. The compromise bill is going to do nothing. It's not even going to stop the flow of illegals.
All right, so explain to me under what you're talking about here, where we would have people able to go back and forth between the countries. We no longer would have Mexicans trying to sneak across the Arizona desert because they could go to an entry point and just show some ID and come in. Is that basically it?
Yeah. You've got your Mexican, whatever, your passport, it might be a statewide driver's license, and whatever it is that would be recognized at the border. I mean, have you gone to Canada? You cross the border into Canada?
I have, and that's exactly what you do. You take that bridge in Detroit into Windsor,
and
you basically get asked about a question and a half, and you show them a picture ID, and you're in.
Right, yeah, and I mean, you know, it's something along those lines, because there's nobody cares why you're going into Canada. They know you're not going to stay around, all that, you know. And, you know, that is tightening up, actually, and the post-9/11 situation has really tightened up the border situation even with Canada. But, you know, security-wise, all of this is a wash, because what you're doing with guest worker visas or with no visas or whatever you're doing, you're creating paperwork solutions and telling people that those are paperwork problems and telling people that those are security solutions. This does allowing legitimate citizens of Mexico to come and go to work would be far better for our security than what we have now, because you would take away the incentive to swim across the Rio Grande, and you would allow CBP, instead of chasing, you know, people who want to pick lettuce down in the desert, they would be looking for actual terrorists or actual contraband or actual nuclear materials or whatever it is they should be looking for.
Because we would know that if somebody had ill intent, they wouldn't go through the regular channels,
exactly,
and those would be the ones sneaking across the desert. Yeah,
you know, I want to apologize. I didn't mean to make light of your grandparents or my grandparents. In fact, it's true. Everybody went through Ellis Island, but I want to emphasize, I'm not talking about people coming from China or from Saudi Arabia or anything like that. These are two countries that are right on our borders. It's just a law of nature that a country on your borders is going to have a different relationship with you than somebody on the other side of the world, let alone when you have a massive comprehensive trade agreement with them. I hesitate to call NAFTA a free trade agreement because, you know what that really means. But, you know, we do have an agreement with them. So, and, you know, although if there has been an increase, and there has been an increase since 1990 in the number of people coming across, most of that is due to this new situation that NAFTA has created. People see opportunities and they pursue them.
All right. Now, a couple of times in this interview, you said they come and they go.
Yeah.
Would they go? I know now it's tough for them
Okay. Well, listen, since we've got back to our families back on the other side of the world, my wife is Lebanese and she's had brothers and sisters come. We have gone through an incredible amount of rigmarole and red tape and, you know, supposedly this is supposed to make me more angry at the illegal immigrants because I went through that process, so why shouldn't they? In fact, it makes me say, well, why should somebody who's just coming from Mexico to work here have to go through all this rigmarole? Now, my situation is I got a family on the other side of the world, and if I could do anything to get the whole kit and caboodle to move over here, many of them have come here and they've worked and then they've gone home and stuff, and I just wish they would all move here so my kids wouldn't have to, you know, when my kids want to see their grandparents, I wouldn't have to travel all the way around the world and, you know, make an expensive trip and all that. This is the nature of what people do. It's true. You know, you go back to your grandparents. In that period, European immigrants, 25% of them eventually resettled in their home countries. And that's a hugely different situation than now. You had to get into the, you know, the hold of a steamer and cross the Atlantic Ocean to do that. It was a tough trip to make.
Oh, yeah.
And people still decided, hey, I'm going to, you know, for whatever reason, I don't hold it against them. I don't demand that everybody love the United States. I think if you, you know, you love your home, that's why Ulysses spent 10 years trying to get back to Ithaca, because home is where people want to be.
So you think that people from Mexico would come into the States, pick lettuce, take construction jobs, do whatever it is they're going to do in the United States, stay here for several months, and then go back to Mexico and...
Some would, some wouldn't. I mean, certainly you're going to get an increase in the population, just as you're getting an increase in the population now. Some people are going to come and they're going to stay. One thing I want to point out about the way we set things up now with guest worker visas and, you know, other sorts of working papers and work visas is that all those depend on your having an employer ready to hire you. So you're keeping out a class of people that you should actually want to attract. You want to attract somebody who's not saying to himself, like, hey, my American dream is to go up north and clean a toilet or pick lettuce for some guy in a cowboy hat. You want a guy who's saying, hey, I'm down here and I've been looking at the hotel market or the in Boise, Idaho, or I've been looking at the, you know, how many quickie marts they have in Des Moines or something, and I think I could open one there. I think I could make a go of that. That's the kind of people you want. You want entrepreneurial people. You want people who are pursuing a thing for themselves.
And we're not getting them now?
I think we are, yeah. No, I mean, if you go into any place that has, you know, where a lot of Mexican immigrants settle, you'll find a lot of small business owners.
Right.
Certainly, you're going to find restaurateurs and everything else. And I think that we should encourage that.
Doesn't encouraging more people to come here also put a burden on our health system, our hospitals, and our infrastructure?
Yeah. You know, if you look at the actual stats for use of welfare kind of stuff, whether it's subsidized housing, you know, AFDC, all that kind of stuff, all of those, if you look at the percentage of immigrants using those versus the percentage of regular Americans using them, they're all within a few percentage points of each other. I mean, nothing more than there's nothing more than a margin of error difference between how much Americans are using those, how much immigrants are using those. Also, you have to look at how states do assess things. Texas is less burdened by its illegal immigrant population than California is because it has different ways of assessing taxes. So more of the illegal workers are paying into the system already than they are in California. You work it that way. But, I mean, let's be honest. It's not immigrants who are bankrupting Social Security. It's not immigrants who passed this ruinous Medicare drug benefit. We're doing that ourselves.
Now, you talked about people coming from Mexico and, to a certain extent, Canada into the United States, and under your plan, they would be able to come here, take a job for as long as they wanted to. There wouldn't be a limit on it, right?
Right.
They could stay for as long as they wanted to, and then they could go or they could stay if they liked. And of course, the converse would be that Americans could go to Mexico and Canada. Unfortunately, right now, it's very difficult for an American to actually go and take a job in either of those countries because they are far more restrictive on foreign citizens coming and working in their countries than we have ever been.
Right. That's the question of reciprocal arrangements, which I was actually flummoxed on the other day and put if you want to check out our site, which is reason.com, I put a question out there to our readers about that. Why, you know, how do we get around that problem? And one thing to keep in mind is even if you don't have reciprocity from a trading partner, you're still better off not using protectionist policies. So in some ways, it doesn't matter if they don't do it. The other thing to I wonder about is how true is it that Americans can't really go down and work or start a business or buy a place? I know a lot of people who own property in Mexico. I know some people. I know some actual... Some real super lefties who truly did leave the United States when George Bush won his re-election and have moved up to Canada. And it seemed they didn't have any problem, and they have jobs up there, and they're going to buy a house. So I don't know in reality what the bars are from Americans doing that stuff. You know, we're a lot wealthier than people in Mexico and, you know, a bit wealthier than people in Canada, and that goes a long way.
Has anyone ever suggested something like this at the federal level?
No. I mean, you know, it's your description of it as radical is correct in the sense that, I mean, this is considered, hilariously, it's considered unrealistic, as if whatever comes out of the Senate is going to be a realistic means of addressing, you know, the immigration problem. But no, I don't know that anybody is making this argument except me, although I've gotten a lot of response. A lot of people have been writing to me saying, oh, is anybody organizing for this? This is a great idea.
Have you heard from anybody in any official capacity who said, hey, you know what? This would be a good alternative.
No, and, you know, I don't expect it. I'm in Northern California, and, you know, the liberals are as bad as everybody on this issue. And so, you know, the unions are certainly, they have a real weird position on illegal immigrants, right? I mean, they want them if they can get them in the union and all that kind of stuff. Nobody on the left is making any kind of individualist argument, which is really the argument that I'm making, that individuals should be free to do what they want to do. If there's somebody up here wants to hire you, somebody down there wants to work, that they should be allowed to do that, and make that arrangement. Now, as you know, nobody on the left and hardly anybody on the right actually believes in what I just described.
Yep.
But I'm optimistic, though. I'm always, part of being an American is being confident in the future, so maybe this idea will catch on.
Well, in a couple of moments, we'll see what my listeners have to say about it. Tim, thanks for your time this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Hey, it was great talking to you, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. Tim Kavanaugh is one of the editors of Reason Magazine, who wrote this op-ed this week called Borders Without Visas, which says people should be able to pretty much go from country to country in North America, Mexico, Canada, and the United States, and work and move wherever they want to. As long as they're citizens of one of those three countries, there shouldn't be any of those restrictions on them.